Good morning, friends and family of GCBCR. How y'all doing? Man, the energy, it's just bursting in here this morning. All right, we got a fun topic today. We're going to look at 2 Timothy, and we're faced with a decision. The passage is going to deal with a decision that all of us are going to have to make, okay? And this is the decision. Are you going to take the comfort of living in a lie, or will you take the reality of truth, but it may not be as comfortable? Okay, so that's the decision point that all of us have to make. Would we much rather choose living comfortably in a lie, or would we much rather take on reality, which may not be all that comfortable, but it is the truth? Okay, so that's what we're going to wrestle with today. And I don't know about you guys, which side you're going to land on, and your discovery this morning as we go through God's Word might surprise you. Okay, so here's how I'm going to tee it up. There's a movie that deals with this. Anyone ever seen Matrix? Okay, who hasn't seen Matrix? Okay, we got a couple people here. Let me just set that up for you. It's a movie that's set in the future. And there's this guy, his name is called Neo, and he's a computer hacker, and he realizes that the world that he lives in is a complete lie. Okay, so basically the reality is that in the world that he lives in, the machines, so the robots, have basically taken over the world, and now humans are basically just batteries. Okay, so they hook up every single human being and use them as like an energy source. And so they have these huge like human farms where they just produce human beings from babies. They hook them up and basically just start siphoning off the electrical energy coming off from their body till they die. So from the moment you're born till you're dead, you have no idea that this is going on to you, okay? And the way that the machines handle it is they hook you up to what they call a matrix, which is a virtual reality. You're hooked into it. So from the moment you're born till you die, you think you're in this real world, but you're not. You're in the matrix. And so the movie sets on these band of rebels, okay? So these are the people who have discovered that they're in a virtual world. And so they've kind of surpassed that. They've come to the real world. But the real world kind of sucks. It's post-apocalyptic, like nothing is growing. They don't really have good things to wear or eat or whatever. And so the truth was really painful. And so what I want us to see is a short clip where there's two guys, okay? This is the first guy. Is moving on to the next slide. Can you move it for me? All right, I'll tell the story as they're trying to figure out all the technical issues. The first guy is called Cypher. Okay, Cypher, he's a traitor. He's basically betrayed. He's going to betray his team, okay? And Cypher is going to go meet with basically the villain of this movie, which is a computer virus. And Cypher is going to make a deal with him and says, all right, if you put me back into the dream world and you make my life awesome, I will gladly live the lie. Okay, I don't care about the lie, I just want to have an awesome life. And then this other guy called Neo, he's the one that just escaped, and he's starting to see the reality of what the real world is actually like. And this clip here is the two of them looking at their food, okay? So Cypher's looking at his piece of steak, and he's contemplating, it's like, man, I know this is not real, but I don't care. Neo's looking at his glob of single-cell protein, which looks like just snot. And he's eating this, and he's like, man, this is the real world. Do I really want to be eating this? And so I want us to look at the clip, okay? Pay attention to their thought process. Pay attention to how they're making the decisions. Pay attention to what priorities they're placing on the decisions that they're choosing. One's going to choose to live comfortably in a lie. The other one's going to choose the reality of the truth. All right, play it, guys. Not happening? No? You want a second?
Do we have a deal? Do we have a deal, Mr. Reagan?
You know, I know this steak doesn't exist. I know that when I put it in my mouth, the Matrix is telling my brain that it is juicy and delicious. After 9 years, you know what I realize? Ignorance is bliss.
Then we have a deal.
I don't want to remember nothing. Nothing. You understand? And I want to be rich. You know, someone important. Like an actor.
Whatever you want, Mr. Reagan.
Okay. I'll get my body back in a power plant. Reinsert me into the Matrix. I'll get you what you want.
Here you go, buddy. Breakfast of champions. If you close your eyes, it almost feels like you're eating runny eggs.
You know, a bowl of snot.
Do you know what it really reminds me of? Tasty wheat. Did you ever eat tasty wheat?
No, but technically neither did you.
Well, that's exactly my point. Exactly. Because you have to wonder now. How do the machines really know what tasty wheat tasted like, huh? Maybe they got it wrong. Maybe what I think tasty wheat tasted like actually tasted like oatmeal or tuna fish. That makes you wonder about a lot of things. You take chicken, for example, maybe they couldn't figure out what to make chicken taste like, which is why chicken tastes like everything. And maybe they couldn't figure out.
It's a single-celled protein combined with synthetic aminos, vitamins, and minerals. Everything the body needs.
All right. So you heard the pitch, right? Let me ask you, who here would make the choice as Neo did? Gonna pick the single cell protein, everything the body needs. Here, just one, just two, oh, three. Stuart, was that a yes? Okay, who's gonna pick the steak? The majority of you. Wow, I'll tell you a secret. I picked the steak too. So it seems like to me the majority of you would much rather live in a lie, right? But you get to eat steak and enjoy it. And you're like, I don't care that my body is just basically a battery. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm seeing here. Okay, let me pitch it to you another way. Maybe that's too hypothetical. Okay, you're like, okay, I can't grasp the concept of this. Let's pull it a little closer. Let's pull it a little closer to your home. What if you went to the doctor, okay, and your doctor came to you and say, you know what? You have cancer. It's really bad. Now, would you much rather the doctor come to you and tell you everything's okay, you're very healthy, nothing to worry about, you can go on as your way, and just tell you that lie and you buy it? Or would you much rather have the doctor tell you, you know what, you got a cancer here, and if you don't go through painful treatments, if you don't go through chemo, if you don't go through all these things, that's going to hurt you, but at the end, it's going to heal you and make you better. Who would pick the first choice of like, okay, don't tell me anything. I just want to be ignorant of my disease. That would be the steak option. Who would pick the steak, the ignorant? No one! You guys just switched your decision on me. All right. Who would say, I want to know, even though it's going to hurt me, it's painful, I want to know. Who wants to know? Okay, every single one of us, right? Today, when we go through our passage, we're going to be faced with two decisions, like I said. The first group of people, they're going to choose to be in a lie. And I think the reason most of us, and it's talking about people who go to church, okay? It's not talking about people outside of church. It's talking about Christians. It's saying there's this group of Christians who choose lies because they want to eat that steak. Because in their mind, God and pain and suffering and all that stuff that's not good. It's something that they can't relate with. And so they would much rather pick things that are good and happy and listen to positive things and pick the steak and be completely oblivious to what's going on in the real world. And then Paul's going to talk about another group of people. These are the people who say, you know what, I'm eating single-cell protein. This sucks, but it is the truth, and I know that I have to go through hardships, but it's okay. So that's the second group of people. And the reason we're talking about all these themes is because the second book of Timothy talks about endurance, right? Paul is writing to Timothy. We know that Timothy is a church leader, and he's wavering in his faith because there's heavy persecution that's going on. And Paul has lost a lot of his co-workers. People are running away from him. People are deserting Christianity. They're renouncing the gospel because there's too great of a persecution going on. And so Paul's writing to Timothy and saying, Timothy, there's two ways this could go. You could either accept the lie that everything is good and well and live that way, or you can accept the reality that everything is not well and that there are hardships and difficulties that's going to come. And if you pick this second option, you will endure well in your faith. You will race well. You will finish this journey in a way that glorifies God. So that's the pitch here. So if you will open up 2 Timothy, let's get into the passage. And the question that we want to be asking ourselves as we go through 2 Timothy chapter 4, which one are we? Right? Because it matters. If we're Cypher and we want to eat steak and we want to be ignorant to what's going on around us, it will have very devastating results to our life right now and to our life in eternity. But the other option doesn't sound that great. That's why the bulk of y'all, including myself, chose the steak option, because it doesn't sound that great. But if we don't open up our eyes, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Really, this passage boils down to verse 2. Actually, it's verse 2. It says sound doctrine, okay? There are those who pick sound doctrine, and then there are those who don't. So doctrine, if you're not familiar with the word, it means a set of beliefs. And so when we talk about the doctrine of the church, doctrine of God, we're talking about what's in Scripture, okay? So the set of beliefs that defines what God has written in Scripture. And the interesting thing is, it says sound doctrine. So those who adhere to sound doctrine will endure. Do y'all know where the word sound, actually the root of it comes from? It's a Greek word. Any guess? Any guesses? Sound doctrine? No? Okay, this kind of shocked me, but the word sound doctrine, if you look at the Greek word, it actually is hygiene. It, you know, hygiene as in someone went to the bathroom, they didn't wash their hands and started eating, and you go, ew, that's horrible hygiene. You're so unhygienic. Okay, it's that word, hygiene. And the meaning of the word hygiene here means well, healthy. And so when we read it as sound doctrine, what Paul is saying here is a healthy set of belief in God. And so if you have a healthy set of belief in God, then you will do well. And when we talk about hygiene, you know, I always think about oral hygiene, right? A lot of stuff we do with our mouth, things that we really, really enjoy. We like eating, we like talking, we like singing, we like kissing, your spouses only, maybe your kids. So we do a lot of things with our mouth that we really, really enjoy. We like to eat candy, we like to eat dessert, but if that's all you do to your mouth and you don't have great oral hygiene, what happens to your mouth? You get cavities, your teeth fall out, you get inflamed gums, and that's why we go to the dentist, right? Every 6 months, we gotta go to the dentist. Anyone here love going to the dentist? Oh, Jessica, you need to get your head looked at. No one loves to go to the dentist, okay? Everyone hates it. But Jessica, maybe you can recommend your dentist to all of us, because we don't like our dentist. But when we go to the dentist, what does the dentist do? I'll tell you, this is the most painful experience. I hate going because they're putting that drill in my mouth, they're scraping around and it's painful, they have that pick, they're doing all that stuff. But they're doing something that you can do yourself, right? They're going deep in there, they're digging into stuff between your gums and your teeth and whatever else gunk that they take out. It's stuff that you're not able to do it. It's painful, but we do it because it's part of good oral hygiene. And so both our mouth are used for delights, right? But we also have to take care of good oral hygiene. If we don't, then it gets really messed up. And the way I want us to see our passage this morning is sound doctrine, the word of God, is the same thing. God tells us, in fact, it says it here in verse 2. It says the word of God is used for correcting and rebuking. That's like the dentist part. None of us enjoy that, right? We don't like going to the dentist. We don't like being rebuked. We don't like being corrected. But it is necessary because it gets into the root of our heart, and so that God can dig out all those gunk, take them all out so that we can have healthy oral hygiene. Then there's the part where it says encourage. Oh, we like that part. You know, anything about the word of God that is encouraging, that's pleasurable, that's delightful, we like that. And so what this passage is really going to tell us is that sound doctrine, healthy beliefs in God, to be a healthy Christian, we have to fully embrace the good and the bad. And bad I put in quotes, because it's bad to us, we look at it as being very painful, but it's not bad to God. Because when God is doing things that we think is bad and painful, he's actually taking out junk from our mouth so that we can have healthy souls and healthy bodies. That's the part that we don't like. And I'll just give some examples of the word of God that we like and we don't like. So in Joshua 1, verse 9, a lot of people like this verse. It says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord of your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh man, I love that. It's good stuff, right? It's the good thing in the Bible. Telling me not to be afraid, telling me that God is with me wherever I go, God's going to give me strength. Yeah, preach more of that kind of verses. Here's the second one, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't fear, I am with you. Don't be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. All of us like that kind of messages. All of us desire that, right? 2 Timothy tells us our ear itch for that kind of message because it's awesome. It makes us happy, it makes us feel good about ourselves, it makes us feel like we're worth it, it makes us take delight in God. But then there's also that other part of Scripture, which a lot of us tend to not want to deal with. When we hear things like that, it doesn't scratch that itch. It just makes us want to puke, or like, oh no, I don't want to hear stuff like that. Revelation 3:19, here's an example. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. None of us like to hear things about being rebuked and corrected and having to repent. We don't like hearing that kind of stuff. But it's the word of God. It's part of healthy, sound doctrine. Here's another one. John 15:6. It says, if you don't remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burn. How many of us could honestly say, oh, that's a great passage. That's going to be my memory verse. Okay, none of us would react that way, because when we look at passages like this, we go, oh, I don't want to listen to that. That, you know, stuff about God throwing us away and burning us, I don't want to listen to any of that. And so that's the dilemma that we're stuck with. Paul says in the church, in this passage we're reading through 2 Timothy, He's like, some people in church, they just want to hear the good things. And so they surround themselves with teachers who will say sweet things to them, who will say positive things to them, and they go through that kind of teachers and preachers and churches. But Paul is saying, you can't just eat good things. You get cavities. You have to allow the word of God that sometimes it's hard to swallow, to get deep in there and to pull out things that you never knew existed. And that, I think, if we were going to take a poll, all of us would say, I want to hear to those positive, uplifting, inspiring messages, but I don't want to deal with the hard things, right? I'm just being honest here. Like, I go to church, I want to be encouraged. I don't want to go to church and be like hammered and feel guilty about not being a good Christian. And so today's message is actually very convicting for me because whenever I'm preparing messages, I think to myself, what kind of message would bring people in? What kind of message would least offend people? What kind of message would encourage people? And so when I'm writing messages, like, that's in the back of my mind, and I completely realize that it's not right. You know, there are certain passages where it's just straight up offensive, and there's no way I can sugarcoat that for myself or for you guys, because that's the word of God. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you got to take both the good, encouraging pieces of God's word, and you got to also deal with the stuff that corrects and rebukes, because both of them are part of a healthy Christian life. So let me talk about the gospel, okay? Because we're talking about people who pick and choose what they want to hear in God's word. So I want to boil down the gospel here to four big acts in history. And then we're going to look at what are people taking out and what are people rejecting and people adding. So here's the first part, is creation, right? If we boil down the whole Bible into four parts, the first part is creation. God created humans. God created Adam and Eve to have fellowship with them. It's great. We are in paradise. Who doesn't want to be in paradise? But then the fall happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Sin came into the world. Now creation is broken. Relationship with God is broken. Relationship with each other is broken. Then you got redemption. Because of the brokenness, humanity just gets worse and worse. And so Jesus Christ comes for redemption. He comes to rescue humanity by dying on the cross and resurrecting, showing he has victory over sin and death. Then there's restoration at the end. At the end of the scripture, it tells us that Christ is coming again. When we were doing communion, that was his promise, right? That Christ will come again so that everything will be restored. So that is the gospel. There are pieces in here that we like. There are pieces in here that we don't like. So for example, creation. Oh yeah, we like stuff about God loving us, God creating us. We love things about how God wants us to be with him in paradise. We love those things. Preach more messages like that. Let me hear more messages like that. What we don't want to listen to is how creation conflicts with culture, of how culture say we came into being, of how culture say marriages should be, of how culture says this and that. That stuff is offensive, take it out. So we start cutting out pieces in creation. Then we look at the fall. Man, this is a big no-no, okay? You don't tell people that they're sinners. You don't tell people that they're messed up. You don't tell people that suffering is happening. Cut that piece out of the gospel. Redemption, okay, that's pretty good. Jesus loves us. Jesus came to save us. Jesus had victory over sin. God wants to bless us, right? God wants us to have a new transformed life through the Spirit that we may be empowered for life. Good stuff. Give me more of that kind of sermon. Restoration. Okay, the good part is all of us get to go to heaven. All right, let's be honest. When you guys sell the gospel, you're like, hey, when you die, you get to go to heaven, right? That's the pitch. A lot of us pitch it that way. That's the good part. We want messages like that. What we don't want is, hey, right before that happens, there's a day of judgment. God's wrath is going to go poured out, right? People are going to get judged. We don't like that kind of sermon. Cut that out. So what we end up having is a gospel that in 2 Timothy verse 2, it says it's a myth. The gospel has gotten so warped, it's gotten revised so much that it has essentially become a myth that you believe in. And so we look at this and we can almost tell what kind of churches, pastors, teachers preach this kind of stuff, okay? Creation, God loves you. God wants to be in fellowship with you. Redemption, Jesus came for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to empower you. Restoration, we will all go to heaven and be happy. All of us want that kind of messages. And there are churches that preach, that only preach that kind of messages. They don't touch on sin. They don't touch on wrath. They don't touch on repentance. They don't touch on any of those other things that we don't like hearing about. And so Paul tells Timothy, you're going to encounter a time where people, even in the churches, will only want to listen to positive, upbeat, uplifting, inspirational messages. And you got to be ready for it. So preach sound doctrine, all of it. Things that we perceive as good and things that we perceive as bad. You got to preach all of it in order to be a healthy Christian. And like I said, this is very convicting for me because in general, I don't like conflict. I don't like to beat judgment down on people. I don't like to say things that are offensive. But God's word is all of that. It's both good and bad. And we got to embrace all of that. So this is what ends up happening. You got churches that do this. This is an actual church. They have a ripoff of Starbucks called Sunbucks. Okay, so what happens is churches realize this, right? And they're saying, okay, there's no way we can compete with people because outside of church, there's just too many things that capture their itchy ears. And so we got to start transforming our churches and market the gospel in a way that's palatable to people who come to church, right? And so they'll do things like this. They'll start up Sunbucks. There's another one called Hebrews, which is like a coffee shop. So there's stuff like that churches will start doing because they want to soften the gospel message, because they want to say things that are good, that people like to hear. I don't know about you guys, but Paul is saying if that's what you believe in, then you have belief in a myth. You no longer believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's no longer the word of God. You are now an unhealthy person living in unhealthy doctrines. As you think through this stuff, what are you thinking? Are you thinking I'm more cipher with the stakes or Neo with reality? If I'm going to be brutally honest with you, I feel like I'm more like a cipher. You know, I want to hear good things. I don't want to deal with the bad things. And Paul said you can't do that if you're going to be a healthy Christian. And I'll give you an example of how kind of brainwashed we are. I remember back in the youth group, we were practicing sharing the gospel, okay? So we said, all right, everyone have your elevator speech. So if you went into an elevator with a person, you got like 1 minute to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would you say? So we kind of went around, and some of the youth started with, God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. Jesus saves you, right? They'll kind of start with that pitch. And then some of the guys is like, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. And all of us just gasp, whoa, no, you don't start that way. You don't tell people they're a sinner and they're going to hell. And so we have this like knee-jerk reaction when we hear things that we don't like hearing. But the reality is they're all part of the gospel message. God loves you. Jesus did come to die for your sin that you may have eternal life. But then the second part is, why did he have to come? It's good news for a reason, because there's bad news. The bad news is that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners in need of Savior. So we have to tell all of that in order to fully present sound doctrine, okay? We got to present all of that, because it's important. So let me ask you, when you're in your own Christian life, when you're trying to listen to certain messages or you're reading books or whatever, do you get a healthy dosage of things that are encouraging to you and also a healthy dosage of things that convict you and rebuke you and correct you? I think that's important. And we do that with our kids. I don't rebuke my kids. I don't correct my kids because I hate them. I do it because I love them. In fact, we just read a passage that says, God disciplines those he loves. right? It is out of love that God corrects us. It is out of love that God puts that drill in our mouth that we hate so much so that he can clean that gunk out of our lives. Both of them are good. So whenever you feel like you're being corrected by God, whenever you feel like you don't want to hear things that are just hard to swallow, God is doing good things in your life. He does it because he loves you. So embrace that. So let me end with this story. Right now in my house, this is happening. Do you guys see that? It's our hardwood floor that's all moldy. Our wall behind the fridge is all moldy. This is the crawl space. I went underneath, the whole place is moldy. It's about the size of a 6x8. It's horrible. Okay, if you go to my house right now, it is messed up. How did this happen? So over the years, we've noticed that in front of our fridge, and our fridge is encased in a closet, okay, so you can't really see what's going on around it. So we've noticed in front of our refrigerator, the hardwood floor isn't completely flush. So we've kind of noticed that, and Winnie actually told me multiple times, she said, Carter, you need to get this looked at. And I'm like, oh, it's okay, it's no big deal. Don't worry so much. And she was very persistent. So I finally called a general contractor, and even he said, hey, it's no big deal, it's just weather, okay? When it's cold and it's hot, the wood is kind of going up and down. And so I like that. I'm like, yes, I like hearing that. No problem. I don't need to do anything about it. Everything is great. I love hearing that. About 4 weeks ago, I was walking behind the fridge, and I noticed that the cabinet at the floor was peeling. And it looked like it was water damage. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is not good. So I called the contractor. He came into our house, and he pulled the fridge out of the closet. That's what he saw. This was his reaction. He's like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything that bad before. That was literally his reaction. I'm not like over-dramatizing this, okay? And he's done contracting his whole life. He said, Carter, what did you do? And he said, this kind of water damage has been going on forever, probably years, and you never realized it was going on. So he called a plumber. The plumber came in, and he went, oh my gosh, this is the worst damage I've ever seen in my life. I'm not joking. This is literally what the plumber said. Then the plumber called the floor guy, okay, the guys who like install floors. The guy comes in, he's like, oh my gosh, what did you do to your floor? Then he called, who did he call? He called someone else. I think it was like the electrician or someone, and it was the same reaction. Basically, every single one of them were shocked at how bad the damage has become. And this happened because I was in denial, right? I wanted to hear that everything was okay. I wanted to hear that I don't have to deal with it. It wasn't until they pulled it out that they realized, and I realized, the extent of the damage. And when I went under the crawl space, I almost puked. I'm like, wow, that's what it looks like. And so they kind of shook their head and they say, you need to call your insurance right now. And so the insurance guy comes in and he said, oh my gosh, what did you do to your house? And then here's where he dropped the bomb. He said, Carter, you're looking at $6,000 to $12,000 to fix this thing. And then he looks at me and he says, insurance don't cover this kind of damage. Insurance covers things that like burst and then they come and fix it, but stuff that has been deteriorating over time, apparently no insurance company covers it. And so he said, Carter, we don't cover it. You can go to any insurance company. None of them are gonna cover this. And I'm thinking, man, Winnie better has a fat bonus this year because I don't know where we're going to come up with this kind of money. And so I was stressed out. But he said, he's like, all right, Carter, let me see what I can do. And so he disappeared for 2 weeks. And I was so stressed out. Winnie's like, you need to call him and ask if he can help us. And then 2 weeks later, he called me. So this is literally last week, okay? He called me and he said, Carter, I had to go through so many layers of management to figure this thing out. And we're going to cover you fully. And I can tell you my, like, the joy that kind of shone through my face. I'm like, wow. Everyone said this is not going to be covered, and somehow you're going to cover this. And I kid you not, when he told me that, I thought about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not kidding. I'm like, how is that the first thought in my head? But when he said, we're going to cover you fully, I thought about it. I'm like, wow, this is like the gospel, you know? I had this thing that was rotting in there for years, and I didn't want to deal with it. Right, I just was in denial. I would much rather live in a lie that my house is fine. And it wasn't until I said, all right, I'm going to deal with this, that they pulled the fridge back, and then I realized the extent of the damage that he has done. They still haven't figured it out. Like, that beam supports the weight of the house. And if they say that beam is rotten, they're going to have to lift the house up to switch out the beams. And so that's our life in Christ. You know, many times we don't want to deal with issues. We just want to listen to positive things, not realizing that deep inside we're rotting away. And at some point that beam's going to break and our life is going to crash. That's why the good news of Jesus Christ is good news. It's very transparent. It tells you, you are rotting in there. And the only way that you are going to get this fixed is if you let Jesus Christ come into your life, you accept him as Lord and Savior, you repent of your sin, and live in obedience to Christ. You will get a huge sense of relief knowing Christ has done that for you, and that is the good news of Christ, that something messed up is going on in here, and we got to accept the rebuking, we got to accept the correction, we got to accept all of that so that God can do work in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. Sometimes you just put tough messages in front of us, God, and we don't really want to deal with it. But we thank you, Lord, that you are like a good father. A father who loves and encourages and gives joy and inspires and encourages. But you are also a father who corrects and rebukes and transforms us in ways that sometimes we honestly, God, just find very painful. But we know you are doing all of this because you are our Father in heaven who loves us. And you held nothing back. You gave your one and only Son to show your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for this message. And I pray that if there's anything going on in our lives right now where we're trying to avoid difficult passages and difficult things that you're working in our heart, I pray that we embrace it, God, today, knowing that all things that you do, good and bad, are good for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.